You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey live from the vehicle.
It's Dan. Nick, you're on mute, friend.
Well, it's your boy Jay. Okay, and it's your boy J Scar 2-5. What it do, y'all boys? What's happening?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
What's man, good? It is. You know, it is what it is. It's time. You know,
tough it's time. One. Another tough one, guys.
And it's time. No time like the present.
Baton Rouge. I enjoy New Orleans. Yeah, I was calling the entire state New Orleans. I enjoy Louisiana. I enjoy Louisiana. They've got good food, a bunch of people that just want to cook for you. They're nice too if you're nice to them. It's a great stadium. Atmosphere wasn't. A couple people who I talked it up to, they're like, it wasn't that great. They do call them Baton Rouge in the third quarter, heading into the fourth. Tom Petty's better. Not a great game.
No, ugly game overall. How's everybody's weekend? Then we'll get into the actual show. We got a lot to talk about.
I had a great weekend, man. Pretty chill vibes. Just, you know, family football. Shot my Jags let one go. It was a tough weekend football wise, man. But other than that, you know, everything was beautiful, man. How about y'all boys?
Was good. Was able to get out on the boat, and that's always enjoyable, especially when it's not yours and you can be passenger. So shout out to Ryan and his boat. So appreciate that. Not letting the Dolphins or Billy Napier ruin any days, any weekends around here. So otherwise, very good. Hung out at the Pinellas Gator Club for a little while. If you have a Gator Club in your area, always throw a watch party. It's always a fun time. Meeting some fellow Gators wherever you might be. So go check them out if they're in your area.
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. Chill with the fam. Kind of did a little bit of part two celebration with wife and the kids. Now, first it was me and wifey for an actual birthday. Then, you know, women like their birthday to be a week long. So we had some weekend events set up for her. We had a little hotel on Singer Island. It was a nice little hotel. So I was chilling out there for the weekend. I wish football would have been better for me as well. I wish I had my helmet on right now, but I don't. But, you know, it's going to be all right, fellas. Through all kinds of weather, right? So that's what we signed up for.
But the Dolphins stink right out now. Loud, too. My
Dolphins
goodness.
Dolphins are terrible.
Silk's coach is lying. He's trying to lie to help his player. And then the reporter's going, well, he wasn't on the injury report. And then Silk's coach is like, thing about that is, my bad.
Sorry, fantasy owners.
Our Dolphins coach is just like, if you play winning football, you win games. If you play losing football, you lose games. I'm like, my guy.
Hey. I'll take that as a quote in the pressing.
I've got some dejected coaches in my life right now. Not a lot of excitement on teams that I root for.
Waiting for that buyout to hit, man.
Hockey season starts in just a few weeks. So ready
I
for
can
that.
Tell. Jordan, I know when the coach ready for a bout to hit, bro.
You can smell it in the air, man. It's already brewing. I hope you don't, but that's what it's looking like at this moment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's we got a lot to talk about. Corey, why don't you give us a Brunt ad read, and then we'll get into it.
One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg is the best of the best in the business. I promise you, he can get you the lowest quote possible. If not, it don't cost you a dime to find out. Visit bruntinsurance.com or 954-589-2204. Home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance. Just as a value customer myself, I've had Greg for like 5-6 years covering my home. Best of the best with customer service. You can call him at any time of the day. Greg gonna pick the phone up and take care of you. 954-589-2204 or bruntinsurance.com. Call them folks, see if you can save some money, man.
Greg, what it do, baby?
And please get insurance. We touched a little bit about it on Friday. I was in a bit of a car accident on Wednesday. Car swerved in front of me. It matters getting taken care of by what I would imagine is the local police force as well as my insurance company. But please make sure that you have car insurance if you're going to be on the road. And you can call Greg. Great price. It's going to cost you a hell of a lot more to not have insurance than it would if you had it. So, all right, guys, I'm fine. I know a lot of cries and whimpers went out. I'm still here. The haters say I couldn't made it through, and I made it. All right. Let's see. Gators lose 20-10 in LSU. Otherwise, a relatively ugly performance by both teams. Defense played well for the Gators. DJ Lagway, unfortunately, throws 5 interceptions in this game. We'll talk about all of that. Again, defense only gives up 1 touchdown. There was a pick 6, as I'm sure you know, returned for a touchdown in this game. But in back-to-back weeks, the defense only gives up 1 touchdown, and the Gators find themselves on the losing side of that game. So guys, let's just get some overarching thoughts, then we'll do offense, we'll do defense, we'll talk coaching, we'll talk lists, we'll talk it all.
Sounds like a plan.
Nick, you were there.
It started with a little skirmish. Love to see it. And then the second skirmish, the one that I got on video, saw it from a mile away. Jordan knows. So the first skirmish was who has the long side of the field. And that's kind of where they started running into each other during warmups. And then some boys from D block decided, you know what? We're going to take a lap. We're going to take a lap around the field. We just want to walk the full rectangle. And I saw them cross the 50 and I was like, there will be another tussle here. One can simply not just do a lap around the field pregame during warmups. And then there was another tussle. Just being down on the field, thought the guys were ready to go. Defense certainly was ready to go. I think they gave up like 11 yards on the first 3 drives. Yep. Defense came out really ready to go. Caleb Banks was fired up. Thought that there was a lot of like, there was like a lot of emotion, but like it felt legitimate. You know, it didn't feel like tough guy, let's, you know, fake it, put it on. Felt like the guys were ready to play. I love that stadium. Love the Florida LSU rivalry. It certainly delivered the student section. My goodness, they say some unspeakable things. The student section says some stuff that like,
Nick, we gotta talk about the game, bro.
Yeah, we're starting with some good stuff.
Nobody cares about their fans, bro.
Defense started well. I think I've had the drive chart pulled up. Like, gave up 1 long drive, that 10-play, 76-yard drive. Outside of that, defense played well enough to win. Good enough to win. They've given up 2 touchdowns in 3 games. Florida's offensive drive chart is horrendous. It's field goal, interception, punt, touchdown, interception, punt, interception, punt, punt, interception, interception.
Yeah.
Tough.
Without five interceptions, you have a chance to win that football game thanks to the way your defense played.
100%. It's no way.
That's an egregious number of interceptions in a game.
I mean, if you get three, like, you know, any coach with a brain benches you, right?
Yep.
Straight up.
I mean, well, I don't know who John Reed.
You should never make it to five, bro. Not in a game like that. You should never make it to five. Like, take that guy, relieve the guy. Even if you're telling him when you pull him off the field, hey, I'm going back to your next game, but right now, we got to go with somebody else. That's just poor coaching.
Spurrier let Shane get five one time, and I don't know who John Reeves' coach was, but John Reeves' coach let him throw nine in a game. That's the actual UF record, nine.
When was that?
One of John Reeves' 3 years at Florida. We went looking.
1969?
Yeah, I knew I wasn't born.
They put a man on the moon, and John Reeves threw halfway there in interceptions.
So I think we all agree that at some point you need to try something different, right? Whether it's put him on the bench for a series or two, put him on the bench for the rest of the game. He wasn't seeing the field. LSU's defense knew what to do to attack him, and there was just a lot of the mental reps weren't mentally repping against this LSU team, and you could tell they didn't look physical. There was some bad reads, some triple coverage, some overthrows, trying to play a little bit of maybe some hero ball in the game, but you have to do something different. And I'll tell you, if my quarterback throws five interceptions, I've got to start looking back to see when interception three was, and is he going to keep throwing the ball? Because how many reps or how many attempts did he have after interception three, Nick? Can you look that up? Because he had 49 in the game, which is a lot for a Billy Napier offense.
Yeah.
And I know they were getting to the running back. I know Jaden Ball maybe didn't have the game that we could have anticipated him, you know, having on the ground. You know, you have that 85-yard touchdown, you know, return back, and who knows what that does to the trajectory of the game. But throwing the ball 49 times and your quarterback ends up with five interceptions is just a little bit of malpractice. And I know you have a game plan, but you've got to do something when that game plan meets the enemy and that enemy punches you in the face five times.
You're asking a lot. You're asking for adjustments, man? Like, what are you talking about? Adjustments?
I mean, if you're going to stand by yourself the entire game, not coach the defense, not do anything but stare at your play sheet, like, do something different.
Yeah, I just don't the overall game plan, you just got to stick to the run regardless, bro. Like, we don't have the type of team to – and the quarterback's not playing well enough to throw 49 times, right? You're looking at a 10-point game. Like, that game is still manageable. We should have never got to the point where we're pitching the ball around that many times. That's outside of their identity of who they want to be as a football program. Jaden Ball is playing the best on offense.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to get him the ball, rain, sleet, or snow. Your defense is playing well. If it's going to be a slugfest, make it a slugfest. Run the ball until you start to get some type of momentum. But 49 times with a struggling quarterback is just not smart football. You know, offensively, you know, you get guys, every guy that's playing well eventually gets benched. And I don't know what it is. Aiden Mizell is playing good football that game. He's making big plays. And then he disappears. I tweeted during the game when he scored the touchdowns, I hope he don't get benched. We don't see the guy the rest of the game. A lot of this, bro, is just elementary stuff. If a guy's hot, you feed him. You know, if a guy's not hot, don't feed him. Aiden Mizell was on nine passing plays after he had those big plays. That's egregious. We threw the ball 49 times.
Mm-hmm.
49 times. The guy that's hot, the one receiver that's balling, making plays, he's on the bench. And that's a reoccurring thing. Like, how many carries did Jay Ball get the entire game? It's all of us agreed. You're not feeding your best players, bro.
He had, I believe, 10.
10, yeah.
10 attempts for 46 yards. Jacoby Jackson, 7 attempts for 13 yards. Duke Clark, 1 attempt for 1 yard. And DJ Lagway, 6 attempts for 37 yards. 70 of those 97 yards came after contact, too.
Yeah, so Ball had
10 for 46.
Two, three, four. Four of those were in the second half. Ran for four, ran for 13, ran for four, and ran for six in the second half. It's just you didn't really get – I kind of agree because I think it's – you know, I've said it. Like, I think the team, the offensive line run blocks well. And it seemed like you went away from the running game as if like that you were playing catch up when you weren't playing catch up. It was a one possession, two possession kind of game. One possession until, you know, the pick six made it a 10-point game.
Right. With a lot of time left still. Like, you don't have to move away from your game plan and keep throwing the ball on just, in my opinion, and Jordan, Corey, you know, Nick, certainly you guys probably, I mean, Jordan and Corey, you definitely do. Nick, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Know more about some of these passing concepts. It almost seems to me like, you know, when I look at this field, Billy Napier looks at a 3rd and 7 with the only amount of yards that you can get on this play is 7 or 8. We're never going to send anything deeper than 7 or 8. So if you watch the way that LSU was zoning their defense, you were throwing three guys to hitch right at the first yard or the first down marker. They were blanketed. You know, I don't blame DJ Lagway for everything. I think that Florida does have a separation issue at times at the wide receiver position, but everything that I look at about this offense just looks poorly managed, poorly executed, and it looks like a coach that is absolutely waiting for a buyout. And I don't want to be critical of players. I know that they're putting their bodies out there, but right now this is just kind of an abomination of an offense right now. And the idea that you could ever critically ask Billy Napier about changing coaching or changing who's going to call plays is just absolutely, it's mind numbing and it's hard to see the level of ego and arrogance in this program right now to not make the necessary change that you need to try to salvage some sort of season. And you start to worry about Miami and then what happens during the bye week. You've got a lot of injuries, you know. You have a lot of injuries on this team right now. And I'm just a little worried. Just worried about the future of what this year looks like. And I don't think that you can spot the buyout any quicker than now. That's why I released the list trademark for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, man, I pretty much agree with all you guys said, man. I feel like y'all hit it on the head. I do feel like, what did they lose? Two linebackers or one linebacker got hurt in the game, something like that?
Yeah, no, he got ejected. There's three of them.
One got ejected, one got injured, right?
Yeah. So Witt, who was a preseason All-American, ejected on like play three or play two. And then his brother got hurt. And Brian Kelly said, we threw the third one in there, and I don't know that he really knew what he was doing, but he played hard.
Exactly. Like, why aren't we running our best player right at that? Like, we're the best at run blocking. Our identity is not airing the ball out 40 times a game. Why aren't we running the football on a third, fourth string linebacker? Like, that's what had me kind of lost in the game. And obviously, you're down. We know you want to throw your way back into it, but like we said, it was a one possession game, two until the pick six. Like, yes, you threw five interceptions, but it was only a two score game, which is rare. It should have been a blowout considering five interceptions, and we couldn't score any on top of that. So
Florida dropped back to pass in this game. Now, this includes some runs and stuff like that, 59 times to 23 rushes.
That's not our identity, man.
We don't have an identity. Our identity is lost.
It has to be, because I don't understand how you're into that game plan and seeing the circumstances, right? It should have been a gimme. Like, you got two. I guess they're maybe thinking because they're backup linebackers, let's put them in coverage. But I'd rather run right at them. Forget it. I play hard. Especially if the pass ain't working. I don't know. That was just my. And the situation, I would be. popping a big run or something like that. Because it'll happen. I mean, just over the years, looking back at his play.
Man, Corey, your AC.
It's never like just gashing them for 10, 20 yeah. yards of pop, nothing crazy. It's going to take some time. This is SEC football. So 3-4 yards of pop, that's you can live in that world for a long time and be successful. I feel like Jaden Ball was averaging about 4 yards a carry. Obviously, he didn't get a lot of carries, but like I would have kept feeding the horse.
I mean, you have one of the best running backs, we think, in college football, or at least in the SEC, or at least a very good running back in college football, and you're giving him the ball 10 times. And it's the only running back this year that's worked for you. Right? Yes. Like, no offense to Kobe and Jack Cheese. Like him?
Yeah, I like him. He had a great run, honestly. He got us like 3 yards, but he made a lot of dudes miss for 3 yards.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I'm not saying that. I feel like it should have just been heavy run emphasis. Take the pressure off Lagway. After interception number 2, I would have been trying to game play the ball more, honestly. But
yeah, I mean, the 59.
Yeah.
I'll look. That's got to be the most that Flores ever
got. I think he honestly just got scared. The moment was too big for him, and he just went to shit. Excuse my language. He just started calling stuff he wouldn't never call before. You think stuff's going to happen that really has never happened for us. This is like, this is not LIU. You can't just air the ball out against these guys and have fun. All right?
Yeah. I'm just trying to – I'm going to look over the last few seasons if Florida's ever even come remotely close to that. I don't know what they saw in LSU's DBs or team. But
maybe in the Kyle Trask era, maybe Trask threw a little 40.
I meant under Billy Napier.
He was gunning it out. But once again, that was their identity. The running backs were catching out the backfield. Everybody was catching the ball. Like, that was successful for them. So I it makes sense. But we've never done this. And I've never seen it. I love Lagway. I think he's an amazing player, but that's just too much for him.
Yeah. Remember in the beautiful 2020 season, Kyle Trask was 35 of 49, 71% for 433 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and a 31-19 win at Tennessee during the COVID season.
But it's never happened anywhere close under Billy Napier. I mean, I'm looking back. I'm still in last year, but – you know, everything has always been more run dominant or, you know, a lot closer, not in almost 3-1.
I'm going to look there. They're always, let's see, 23, no, 22 for the first year. Anthony Richardson threw 44 times against Tennessee in 22.
Okay. So you have to go all the way back to 22 and we had something even close, right? So, just bad. To me, it shows that you're not willing to move off of your game plan. You're not looking to you're not playing situational football. And that's where I think we get frustrated is you have an opportunity. You snap the ball 82 times. Is that what it was, Nick? Is that right? 59-23, so 82. So you snap the ball 82 times. 59 of those are passes, or you line up to pass, and it wasn't working, right? I mean, Florida is able to get some catches, right? And you're going to do that, and it had 280-some-odd yards. But you also had 5 interceptions. And so at what point will Billy Napier figure out how to coach this team in the situation given to him and not what's been pre-planned by his analyst weeks and months ahead of time? That's frustrating.
Very.
Any thoughts?
Are you back, Corey?
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah.
Y'all see me? You're back.
Y'all see me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
I don't see myself, so is that how do I sound? Sound okay?
Good. Yeah. You're live.
What did I miss? Thanks, man.
We're just talking about 59 passes to 23 runs.
My personal thought is I honestly think he just got scared, man. The moment got too big for him. Interceptions got the flying. And you got to think in this situation, defense is playing lights out. This is your offense. You don't even have an offensive coordinator to blame this on. This is all falling on you after just coming off a upset last week. You get put into a tough situation where you're forced to make the right play calls again and win this ball game. And I think that just made him go to passing. How, I don't know, but that's obviously what he chose to do. But it was not a smart idea, obviously, seeing the situation now that we're dealing with five interceptions. They're making memes about this kid.
Yeah.
Making him feel all type of bad. I feel bad for the kid at the same time. I mean, he's still very young. Just missing the entire offseason. Mm-hmm. Trying to come back and take on the hardest schedule in college football. I get it. I'm not saying that he's supposed to be Superman. I want him to be, but he's obviously just not. So at that rate, we either need to do a little quick in-game change-up when somebody's on pick interception number three or four, get them out of there, and get ready for the next week, man. I still got faith in Lagway. That was just hard, tough to watch. Tough to watch throughout the whole game and just watching him sell us out like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. My thing is, like, watching DJ from his footwork, everything he did last year, it's an obvious regress. Could it be from the rust, et cetera? Yes, but it's just unfortunate, and it's tough to watch him regress the way he did. You know, he just don't look as confident into everything that's going on, from his footwork, you know, where he's going with the ball, the play calls. He's just not exuding that same confidence that he had last year. And it's just not one position. Like, every position is regressing a little bit. We've seen Trey Wilson come in as a freshman, and we all had these high hopes for what he could be, and then he takes a step back. So you watch his game kind of diminish. ETN and whatever struggles he had with pass blocking, but he never evolved to that next level, and he ended up leaving, right? Jaden Ball is a freshman. He looked dynamic last year. This year, it's not looking the same, you know, as far as his touches. When he gets the ball, it's not the same type of spacing. I don't know what it is, but it's just not the same with even Jaden Ball. With production-wise and what we thought with the sophomore jump he would take. And you just ask yourself, man, like, all of our best playmakers either came over from Louisiana with him. You look at Osiris, and you look at my man, the running back Montrell. And even if you go with, you know, you had Mertz come in, Pearsall, like all these guys. Jake Slott, our All-American, is not a Napier guy. Like, who on offense has he brought in that has developed in his full capacity?
Mm-hmm. Nobody.
Osiris Torrance. That was
like I said. He came from Louisiana. Like what guy?
Well, he came with Billy Napier from
right, Louisiana. But he came with Billy Napier from like that. That's just that's just one example. But like that's a no star kid that they found and developed and brought with them from Louisiana and turned into their first round pick.
Yeah, which is cool, second right? Because Rob Sell wasn't a part of like his early on development, right? With Osiris. But when I look at our roster, our recruiting class on offense, defense like to see the development happening, right? In a lot of positions. On offense, I'm not seeing it. You're a receiver guy. All of our best receivers has came through the transfer portal. We haven't taken a room that we've invested very heavily in with bringing stars in. Like, who has really made that turn and been developed to go to the NFL? Not a single guy. So it ain't just Lagway. Like you can question the entire development of the offense. The play calling ain't developing and going to the next level. The players aren't like the offensive line. Like who on the offensive line has developed under their watch?
Yeah, obviously a lot of concerns on the offensive line. Still a lot of the same issues. I tweeted it the other day. This two offensive line coach situation has been just an abject failure. And I don't know if it's the people that have been involved. I don't know if it's the way that group is split out and coached. But you can't tell me that you are smarter than every other team in college football and have two offensive line coaches, and you can't recruit better than a lot of programs you're competing against. You're not developing the same way or better than your competition. And you still don't have enough offensive linemen right now to be able to sustain long drives, sustain a pocket presence, And I don't know how you can't look at that position and say, man, what a disappointment, not just in the players, because I'll be less critical of them, but the two offensive line coach thing just has not worked at all at Florida.
Yeah. I feel like offensive line has definitely been a problem. Maybe this is where some of the problems are stemming from, with from the play calling. Maybe he's not confident enough to call some play calls where he feels like we have enough time. I'm really lost for words and what to think about this entire offense as a whole, but I'm not saying somebody needs to blame. I don't really care about who to blame. I want to just make right. wherever it's at, whether it's the right side of the O-line, play calling, needs to be more run heavy than pass. I'm not sure where we need to land, but I do not want to come out and it be the same exact thing this upcoming week. You know what I'm saying? I feel like coming out and not making any adjustments, any changes is just ridiculous to me. Like, that's how I kind of felt this week from watching us go against USF, offense stalling multiple times, so going to Death Valley, offense again stalling out multiple times with no adjustments. We go into halftime, we don't make no adjustments. We don't come out and, like, start fast out of halftime. That's the time where you get to actually see what coverages they've been playing for the first half, what have they been mostly running, what are we seeing when we're in two high, one high, stuff like that, to kind of evaluate what play calls you're going to get on certain down and distances. I feel like you aren't making any jump and any change in that in the second half. Shows me that maybe something else needs to change. I don't know what it is, but something got to give.
It's alarming that so many coaching staffs are just openly say that how predictable this offense is. Like, Miami did it, USF did it, and we see how predictable it is. Like, playing in a predictable system where there's DBs jumping routes and they know exactly what to expect, bro, that's just red flags, man. And we just going back, you know, regurgitating a lot of the tapes from last year. It was time to move on, or it was time to find an offensive coordinator, and neither one happened. We just got, you know, finessed into bringing back the same. Bamboozled, you know. I like that word better. How do you guys feel about the overall? Like, are we talking defense, or are we just talking offense right now?
I figure we just talk offense for now, because I want to give the defense their flowers separately, because I thought that they played well. Any highlights? Aiden Mizell, Corey. I know you mentioned him. He's the Gators' leading PFF player for this game. I thought that he had a great game. Caught probably the two best passes in the game. Only gets four targets in this game. Let me get back to this week. Sorry, guys. All right. Season 25. All right. So, Aiden Mizell. In this game, like I said, four targets, three receptions, 41 yards, and a touchdown. Plays nine total plays in this game. Guys, I think it's high time to start seeing more Aiden Mizell. And to be honest with you, I think he's played better than J. Michael Stoudemire. Not being critical of the kid personally, but I think that Aiden Mizell deserves some of those snaps. And I haven't seen what I was told I was going to be seeing out of J. Mike this year.
Yeah, J. Mike could probably run some of the best routes in the world, but you know, if the DB know exactly where you're going, bro, you're just not going to separate. Like, they know the route tree. This offense is predictable, so separating gets a little tougher. Everybody's job is tougher if the defense know what you're doing.
Yeah, ten targets to J. Mike, only three receptions, 43 yards.
Yeah.
Ugly.
It's just ugly football, man.
So bad.
It's ugly football. My Pop Warner team has more plays.
LSU knew what to do. They scouted this team, probably wasn't all that hard. And they did everything that you could possibly need to do against the Gators. I think most, if not all, of DJ Lagway's interceptions were in at least double, if not triple coverage.
Yeah, I was about to say, bro, you were
That was no key his fault, dog. I ain't telling you. I ain't saying that they ain't give him a bad play call, but at the rate that the play set down, set hut, if you are looking at what you are looking at, and you made that choice to throw that ball, your leg's still working, your hamstring ain't bummed, you can take off, you can get down. I ain't saying you got to take hits, but like you said, majority of those interceptions was in double, if not triple coverage.
Did you watch all the route trees and combinations from the bird's eye view and see his options?
No, I get it. The options was not there. This is why you are so great. You are a dual threat quarterback. When I don't care if you got to look like Lamar Jackson today, brother, turn on them Jets and be that guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like he should be progressed as a sophomore, but everybody on the offense is regressed. Like 100%. All these superstar kids, like VB3, like we got to get somebody else around this kid before he turns into a shell of himself next year. Mm-hmm. He's looking too good. Like we get freshmen that ball out, and then the next year they turn into a ghost.
Yeah. Fernell Brown, 8 receptions, 62 yards. A good punt return in that game as well.
Yeah, I like that one.
Jane Ball, 7 for 7 for 59 yards. He did have the 185 yard. That's got to be so demoralizing. Jordan, you ever get something like that happen to you?
And it hurts the worst because you know you got to almost – you don't got to stay in. But if you that guy – you got to come back now from just going 80-something yards and be ready to probably get the ball again of some sort, if not be ready to play. Because, that's that hurt, seeing that yellow on the floor, man, after you just bust a long one.
Yeah, he was so open. I thought he must have, ran out of bounds, and that's why they stopped covering him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Was it a wheel route, Nick? I didn't see the play develop.
No, he just found open field.
Oh, just found open field.
Yeah.
I just know that he was behind the last line of defense by, 6-7 yards and then just took off.
Yeah, they just lost it. And then he was a good when DJ threw the ball, I turned and looked. I'm like, where is he throwing that to? And I was like, oh, there's somebody down the field. Had no idea who it was. Just who is that and why is nobody around it?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it was the worst game DJ's ever played. I don't think anyone on the show has ever said the play calling has been super inspiring or great. DJ looks like a guy who hasn't practiced, and it's not all on him. Interceptions. 5 interceptions is bad, but I think Lauren said it in the comments. Let me find it real quick. He doesn't look comfortable back there. I don't think he looks comfortable. There's times when he threw one of his interceptions, the pocket was clean.
Yeah.
Pocket was clean, just tried to force it. I wonder if one you don't let one go and then you get into another one.
Can I give a little hot take here? This is something that we talked about at the end of last season too, right? I think it was after the Tulane game, is there's a lot of forced balls into either tight areas. Or there's not an anticipation on what the safeties may be willing or is going to do. And that's got to be a film study thing. That's got to be an anticipation thing. But, I mean, if you look at Lagway's career at Florida, who's now up to, 16 interceptions, most of those have been on a lot of bad reads, not on a lot of, tip balls or just great plays by the defender. They've been thrown into double coverage, triple coverage. That's where I get a little concerned because right now they don't look like the physical issues that we've talked about. They look like some of the mental issues.
So I said last week, I'm not seeing rust. Yeah. I'm seeing mental fog. I said that last week.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing any rusty issues. Even when he breaks the pocket, I'm not seeing an issue there. People saying he looked heavy. I mean, you can have that take, but what I'm seeing is from a mental standpoint, they're not getting through to him. It's something they're not getting through to him, and if he's not just doing that in the game, let me tell you something about football and you play any sport. Your week reflects what you see on a game day. 9 times out of 10, what we're seeing from week to week, they're seeing that in practice and something's not getting corrected. And also, if you're seeing those struggles in practice, why not play a Tremaine? Why not try to get somebody to have more practice reps? Why are you still putting the same kid out there making the same mistakes? Because if our defense is this good, he's definitely making the same mistakes in practice.
100%. Yeah, and I mean, that's where I kind of look back at, you know, coaching. And, you know, Billy Napier, I know, is a wide receiver and quarterback guy. You know, Ryan O'Hara, I know he's well-liked on the recruiting trail. You know, but I've got questions. I've got questions about body language on the sideline. There's a lot of B-roll of Lagley sitting next to O'Hara. And O'Hara's talking and looking at the film. And I wasn't seeing Lagway, you know, stare. And now, obviously, you only get a short snippet of it, you know, but I wonder if something's not getting through, if the communication's not right, but something is not working and hasn't really worked at Florida the last 3 years and three games.
Yeah, them boys are taking the Benz and turning it into a Camry. That's what they're doing.
I think it's a lot that goes into it, man. Another thing, I kind of saw it in the comments here, but I did feel like on third down, a lot of the pressures I feel like was getting to us. And I don't know if Lagway's not up. I don't know who's this on, whether center's making the protection calls, Lagway's prepared to change the protection calls, whether they're not allowed to change it, and it's kind of what's set in the play is what we're going to run at the line of scrimmage. But you got to know if it's been, especially after just watching the game, after like the third down, it's exotic pressures. Some dudes standing up in the wrong places. Defense doesn't look like normal. Guys coming from different places. You need to be prepared for that kind of stuff. Like, how can you not have that in preparation all weekend, yeah, knowing, hey, these are some of the exotic looks we're going to see on third down. And maybe LSU just did a great job and brought some new looks to us, mm-hmm, that hasn't been put on film yet. I doubt it, but
yeah,
I'm trying to get
just, they had some sexy looks. I'm gonna be honest with you. So they did some sexy things in that secondary, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you. Blake Baker had a good game plan,
but it's
still, you making the DB jobs easy, bro. How many safeties got out of a backpedal that game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. How many safeties had to get on a racehorse and chase somebody the entire game? If I'm a safety and I'm playing with people in front of me, I know I will not to turn my back because they're not gonna streak anybody down the field. Like, I'm jumping routes. Like, what's the penalty to it? Like, the only deep ball that we really saw was to Jaden Ball.
Yeah, the Gators only threw 16 passes beyond 10 yards. Only 3 passes over 20 yards. 0 for 3.
Like, what are we doing?
0 for 3 over 20 yards. 2 interceptions. Jordan, this isn't to correct you. This is just for the listenership. 4 out of his 5 interceptions, he was kept under clean pressure. Only 1 of his interceptions was under pressure, and all 5 came when he was not blitzed.
Damn, that's sad.
Yeah.
But I was just
tape is out.
Yeah, I was just more.
Yeah, no more single high safety with DJ Lagway out there.
Yeah. Just
do cover 3, cover 4, quarter, you know, cover 6 if they're doing that. But that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like all the times I did kind of see the exotic pressure and stuff up there, it felt like I knew he wasn't going to win that down. You feel me? Like, we probably won it maybe once or twice, but I kind of felt like, oh, that's getting off the field again. They just made the front look funky and didn't even – only ended up bringing 4, maybe 5. We still could have blocked them all, but we have 2 guys blocking 1, or the line wasn't slid the right way. And it's not necessarily a sack, but it's a quarterback hurry, and then now we're throwing a – 4-yard route on 39, and he's getting tackled for a gain of 5, getting off the field. Like, it was just a lot of miscues, and I don't know who to blame that on. I'm not in there to know who's supposed to be making these protection calls and making stuff right. But like you said, even on the downs that they weren't protecting, he had a clean pocket, and he still managed to deliver an interception on our end. So maybe just some accountability that needs to be held at the University of Florida, man. If this is what's – I don't know what's going on in practice. If this is how he is performing in practice and nobody's checking him because he's that guy, I think we need to do some reevaluating of the room, and or something needs to give, because nobody's above the program. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just guessing. It's the only guess I have left kind of deal, because if he just comes on Saturdays and performs like this and he's been balling all week, I feel bad for Billy, because shoot, you're showing me the right things in practice and you come to the game and stink it up. But if you're stinking it up in practice all week, I don't expect anything different come Saturday. We make it easier for you in practice. Practice is normally scripted. You may have like 1 or 2 call it periods just to kind of get some live action going, but it's normally scripted. You know what you're getting on defense, same as offense. You know what you're getting out of them on that play in practice. So cleaner. So if practice is looking clean and it's scripted, I can't imagine what a game time looked like. It's play ball. So I'll call it now. There's no more play.
Yep.
Yeah, I think just preparation wise, like knowing the coverages you're gonna face and all of that, just it looked like he's not prepared. You know, and I don't think he's the only one. Like, our team in its totality, like preparation wise, discipline wise, the penalties is just egregious, bruh. Like, at this point, year four, a lot of that's got to be cleaned up by now. We shouldn't be beating the same drum, but LSU did a good job of splitting the coverages on the field. So a lot of time when you have that short side of the field, they play cover two on that side. The other side, they're playing a cover four, cover six. So a lot of that was confusing the hell out of them. You could see it. You know, when after the ball snapped, it looked like one thing. That's why I said Blake Baker did a good job of throwing a mixed bag of things at him. It's just, bro, when you're facing SEC top DCs in the country, this is creme de la creme. You can't come out here with a bubblegum offense going against Blake Baker. Same thing when we go down to Miami. You can't go against these guys that play at a high level with such a simplistic game plan. They chewing him up. Our offense has no shot versus these guys. That first scripted drive, first couple of drives, be all right. After that, we're stifled.
Yeah.
This guy can't play chess, bro. It ain't even know, like, it's just what it is, bro. To be an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator at the University of Florida, you got to be a highly intelligent football guy with a deep bag because you're facing killers every week. You got to have something when they've already figured, Billy's been here 4 years, bro. The tape is out. They know what DJ's good at. That's why even the Tulane game and the Florida State game, they started to get stifled, right? You start to see it a little bit because they got the film on DJ, and they already know what Billy wants to do with DJ. It didn't just start this year. The last couple of games last year, the first few games before Billy got his full fingerprints on him, the kid was looking sharp. Hitting deep passes, we were getting explosives. As teams got tape, they realized what Billy wanted to do with DJ. Mm-hmm. Shit slowed down, excuse my language.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right.
That first drive wasn't even that good. I'm looking at it now. 9-yard pass to VB. I like that. I like that first play call. One, I like win the toss, defer, put the home team's offense on the field. You got people who've been drinking for 24 hours, bring the quiet down. Then I like that first call. Hey, layup. Quick slant, no read. Just we're in the layup line. Make yourself feel good about yourself. Next play is a 2-yard run and then a 6-yard pass that you get an extra 15 for targeting a 2-yard run, incomplete pass to Sturdivant, incomplete pass to Hanson, and then a 45-yard field goal. Like, it's not even, if you go back and watch that first drive, like, not to like argue with you. So, cause I think that like historically the scripted first drives are good, but like this one outside of like, hey, I like that you gave a young quarterback an easy pass to try to build some confidence. Like, you're not even really getting chunk yards or that. I'm not leaving that first drive feeling inspired. Like, oh, Florida's going to move the ball up and down the field today.
Oh, I've never been inspired.
don't get it confused, Nick.
Yeah. That has not happened under Billy's watch. Is inspired. The most inspiration I got is, you know, Lagway making some of them crazy throws, which, like, the throw to Mazzell, the touchdown pass, you see, like, the kid's talented. It's just something on the mental side that it's not clicking, you know. That's just my overall take. He played a terrible football game, bro. Like, you know.
That's going to happen. You're going to play bad football games. Like, it's going to happen. The other thing, too, like, I get people are angry during games, and there's plenty to be angry about, especially Saturday. Like, that was a frustrating game to watch. But, like, I'm getting hated on when I point out that he throws a beautiful pass to Mizell for a touchdown. Like, the replies are like hate. And I'm like, bro, I get it. At that point, I think he had thrown 3 interceptions. Like, I get it. He's not playing well.
Yeah.
I'm saying that pass was good. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing yelling about a beautifully thrown touchdown pass?
Everybody's just anxious. They're waiting for,
like, he fire. Threw another one. He threw another one to, like, Eugene Wilson.
Yeah, bro.
Thrown perfectly. Hit Eugene in stride. He catches it. He's able to turn up the field. I'm like, dude, that's a perfect pass. People are like, ugh. I'm just like,
I mean, he threw for 287 yards. So, like, you give him that, right? Like, there's going to be good passes in there, but at some point, it's just not, it's not working.
Yeah. I remember, like, in some of the pre-season stuff we did, you know, because I'm out at practice, like Corey's asking. I remember like Shelton, Dave Waters asked. They were like, oh, you're seeing more like four wide sets. I'm like, no, man, the offense is what the offense is. Like, that's you're going
to have the Lucky in the comments. Hey, Lucky, yeah, it's Texas A&M, Miami, USF. We've had several coaches and teams come out and say that this offense is elementary. Right? Yeah. It's about 12 plays. If you figure that out, you really throw a monkey wrench in everything they're trying to do.
Damn.
And this is your competitors telling you that. They ain't even keeping the secret because they know you ain't got nothing.
That's what I'm saying. That's sad because
that's crazy.
If they got that type of information, you would almost want them to be like, okay, I don't even want to let him know that I know.
Nah, he can keep. No, he ain't got nothing else.
Yeah, he said, I'm so confident you don't got nothing else. I'm going to tell you I know.
You think he's going to introduce 12 new plays? He's had a 20-some on
you. He's going to flip it to the plays.
And, I mean, I get it. At the end of the day, inside zone is inside zone. Outside zone is outside zone. Curl, dragging concept, corner flat is corner flat. Football is football. You may have your couple plays here and there that are like, you know, they drew up some type of concept to make something a little different here and there. But for the most part,
Jordan, though, the sharp coaches, right, they know their own tendencies, and they'll draw something up off of their own tendencies, a wrinkle that'll throw you off, and they can get explosive off.
That's really the difference maker in it all.
We don't have none of that, brother.
They game plan into knowing, okay, this defensive coordinator – or whatever on third down, you'll kind of mirror a play that is your bread and butter on third down and add a little spice to it to kind of get you over that hump and have an escape route for your quarterback. Because like we said, him calling these plays, like you said, watching it from the bird's eye view is really nothing open for Lagway sometimes.
Right.
And just making that little change can kind of give him that hiccup. Like, okay, if they did double that, the little check down should be open. Versus just running the normal stuff that's always going to get blanketed, covered up. So I get it. It's definitely just it's tough out here.
Yeah.
You gotta start drawing some up in the dirt like Sandlot in the huddle. Hey, let's just do this real quick.
But I mean, I think we're getting to the point where everybody gets it, everybody sees it, right? Everybody kind of knows where we're at. It's pretty demoralizing. To know and expect that you're probably not going to score points. You know, I think Florida has one march downfield where they scored a touchdown. The one against USF, they get the ball on the 25 yard line, end up scoring there. So we've not seen long sustained drive turn into touchdowns this season outside of the LIU game. You know, we'll talk about FBS opponents here. So just demoralizing. You got to wonder if and when it can get better. And certainly, Miami looks like the real deal this Saturday.
For sure. I mean, just it is what it is at this point, bro. Like we've done this too many times at this point. Go find a Florida guy. Like we need Florida has to have explosive offense. Florida got to have spread. Like we don't need any Bama, Georgia. You know, we don't want to be none of that. We want to be Florida football. We don't want McElwain style Bama. We don't want Billy Napier style Bama. You know, we don't want Dan Mullen who don't want to recruit, bro. Shout out to Dan. He at least tried. You know, he just couldn't recruit. The offense was there.
The offense
was there. But Muschamp, the other three was just Bama fake Saban.
Defense. Like, you would almost have a little Dan Mullen offense, Muschamp defense, and who's
there? Yeah, that'll be fire.
Right?
Speaking of fire, Will tweeted a picture of his kid, who is a quarterback at Vandy.
Yep.
Vandy beats South Carolina 31-3. He tweets a picture of his kid, said, "Go Doors, go Dogs, go Doors," something like that. And somebody quote tweets and is like, "What a dad flex to take a picture with your son after your son beat a school that paid you $13 million to stop showing up to work."
He's like done coaching, you think?
Will? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we get a Will Stein, Will Muschamp.
The thing about Will Stein is like we
Will too.
Will Squared. the University of Florida is not a place where you learn how to be a head football coach.
Shit. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah. I don't know, Nick, if I...
Are you kidding me?
I agree to an extent, but I think that the changing nature of college football has added a lot of different parameters and people between general managers, everything else, that I'm wondering if that doesn't change. I see it in the NFL, right? And college football is moving a lot towards the NFL. Do you see a lot more offensive coordinators and defense coordinators getting hired now, or do you see some more position coaches starting to get hired a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And I'm going to equate – hold on 1 second, Corey. I'm just going to say I'm going to equate being a position coach in college football or in the NFL probably similar to a coordinator role in college football. So I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing some more, you know, of these minds move into, you know, some of these higher level roles, knowing that you're adding general managers, you're adding a lot more administration and taking some of the duties off of the head coach.
That's true. That makes sense though. When you put it like that,
Nick, this is your time to disagree or to debate me.
I'm not going to debate you.
I mean, you're just sitting back. You look like Charles Manson's defense attorney, according to one of the comments. You know, I know that you're probably on a bit of a short leash and, you know, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree. This is, yeah. I've watched Will Muschamp learn how to be a head football coach at Florida. Jim McElwain to an extent because it was just Colorado State. Billy Napier to an extent because it was just at Louisiana and it was only 4 years. Like, I've seen it. This is not a place where you learn on the job.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Florida, the head coaching job at Florida is a hot spot to be in.
Even though that sounds good, Jordan, but they don't treat it that way, bro. Like what are we talking? I'd rather go get the assistant because you're not gonna go get me a G5 coach with, you know, terrible. He got experience, but it's Napier. You know, he got organizational skills. He can build a program. Build it to what? No, the hot two coaches right now, you have Kirby Smart. He was an assistant. You have Lanning. He was an assistant. Like, bro, if it's a hot shot assistant, you go get the hot shot assistant. But don't come sell me on some G5 coach that's been at, you know, Tulane or something. And he's supposed to be the one to bring in organization and run things the right way. No, go give me a hot shot that can go get points. A young guy that can go get recruits. You know, bring me a breath of fresh air. University of Florida has been settling with the guys they've been going in with. After Muschamp, everything's been a settle. You can't sell me any different. Muschamp was a hot assistant. Like, he was head coaching waiting at the University of Texas. That was a good get on paper, right? I'm not mad at that get. It just wasn't a fit because he's a defensive mind, and Florida needs a explosive offense, so it wasn't a good fit. But you go get that hot assistant over some guy that's been at G5 and successful, but he has a low ceiling. Give me the high ceiling assistant that can go get points.
I mean, Mullen made sense. Like, on paper, Mullen made sense.
Yeah, I was about to say, what was wrong with Mullen on why he got fired? Like, that's what I'm saying.
Because everybody knew he couldn't recruit. Like, that was the same with Mullen.
But you were still winning ball games. Hot job to have, like, no matter what, you have to literally be doing everything right. And like, it's only two teams that's doing that, the two teams that make it to the national championship. So like, if you're not one of those, being at a spot like Florida is just a hot place to be. Like, if you ain't perfect, you out of here. And that's, I mean, I love the standard, don't get me wrong, I ain't mad at it, because that's how these fans work, that's how everything goes. Everybody wants to win right now. Like, it's no in between. And I get it. I want to do the same thing. And we gave him time, and he's shown us what he's done in this time. And we don't see any, like, progression in it, I guess, if you want to say. It's no real good progression in it. We'll probably take one step forward, two step backwards kind of deal. So, I don't know, man. I don't know who's the answer, what's the answer, but it's a tough place to be.
Yeah, I don't know if there is an answer, right? Like I said, dropped the list trademark yesterday for the first time. It's fluid. So you missed it?
I missed your, yeah, I missed the teaser.
Over 50,000 impressions on Twitter. Didn't miss it. So you can go check it out. I'll read it to you, Nick. if you're curious, since Corey's out right now. So we'll talk about defense when he gets back. The list version 1.0. So we'll just share screen, do this. Here's the list, boys. Here is the list. We've got Dan Lanning, number one. Lane Kiffin, Marcus Freeman, Brent Key, Will Stein, Kenny Dillingham, Rhett Lashley, Brian Hartline. Now, this is the order in which I would call them. I set out a set of rules that just because they're on this list doesn't necessarily mean that I think that they're going to leave the situation that they're in, but I think you need to kick those tires. I think it's a mix of some reaches for sure, and you have to kick the tires on a guy like Dan Lanning. Turned down Alabama last year, has the money in the world at his fingertips. Does he want a different challenge? Is there something about coming to Florida that maybe is enticing? Maybe, probably not. You got to give him a call. Lane Kiffin's there. You've got Marcus Freeman, 0-2 right now. He's got a really nice setup there at in South Bend, so probably not going anywhere. But you got to give him a call. Brent Key, Georgia Tech. Again, I know a lot of fans aren't super excited about the offense, but he wins games. He won a game against Clemson this week. I think he's 7-1, I think is what I saw, against AP top 25 teams. Will Stein from Oregon. Then Kenny Dillingham, he's at his alma mater. Brent Key's at his alma mater. Kenny Dillingham's at his alma mater. I don't know if Brent Key would come to Florida. He's probably got a really nice cushy setup there. Is Florida what you want to jump into? I don't know his personality. Kenny Dillingham, Rhett Lashley, again, going to be a hard one to get. SMU's got probably more money than nearly any school in college football right now. And then my number eight there is Brian Hartline. Yes, this list is fluid. It will have some changes. We will move things around, especially as we hear a little bit more. But, I think that...
Let me be real with you, man. I forget Tulane's head coach name, but get what?
Don Summerall.
That's a fun list, but just, watching how we hire in every sport, like basketball, we have, one of the top 10 programs, in college football, but that's not how we treat it when it's time to hire somebody. So, Lane Kiffin and Dan Lanning sound like great names, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think that'd be the route we go.
I think it depends on boosters. I think it depends on money. I think that there's going to be some more involvement from what I've heard for some people that are pretty tied in to the board of trustees, some involvement there, and maybe a little bit more booster hand-holding and at least kicking the tires. Will it happen? Who knows? Right. I know Florida's history. I know what Florida's done. They don't go big game hunting often, but at some point in time, you've got to do something to excite the fan base in some way.
I love to be wrong. I'll tell you that.
I think Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. I don't know if it's a long shot. Both of them were interested in the Florida job a few years ago. But I don't know if everybody's as tied in as they always say that they are to a school or to a program. And I also don't think that Scott Strickland's job is on the line with this hire. By the time they figure out if it's a good hire or not, Scott Strickland's contract will be nearing his end. Maybe they won't give him the advisor role post 2030, but we got a quiet group today. I'll carry the pod, boys.
I'm just chilling, bro.
I'm trying to get Nick to give me something, and I think Nick's been muzzled by the administration, and that's fine. While Nick figures out to retighten his muzzle, let's give a quick shout-out to two sponsors. One is Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code STADIUMANDGALE. At checkout, you get 15% off of your order. A lot of vintage designs. You guys know the ad read. You guys know Home Field Apparel. Go check them out, homefieldapparel.com, promo code STADIUMANDGALE. Also, check out our boys over at Game Time Sidekicks. Want a cool cup like this? Want a cup that's going to keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold? Go check them out. tons of Florida Gator designs, always creating new innovative designs and logos for you guys. So go check them out. I love them. I take them everywhere I go. GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code Stadium15.
Yeah, I think that's one of the problems, man. I think the staff worries about the wrong things. Like the admin, everybody, some of the things that they're worried about is just the wrong things, bro. Some of the off-the-field stuff that the players are doing as far as what content they go on, all of that type of stuff, bro. You think Mario Cristobal is locked in with that type of shit? You think Dan Lenny cares where these guys are doing media? You think they got time to be monitoring that and shutting that type of stuff down? No, bro. Like, go win games. Go lock into a film room and get your playbook in order. You know, like, they're just worried about the wrong stuff. Lock in on the field.
On Twitter?
Because unfollowing people, like, in droves, bro. Like, what are we doing, bro? It's amateur hour staff, bro. I'd have been around staff. This is my third staff. McAway, I started doing my media, right? Was there for Muschamp, but I wasn't podcasting like this. Mullen staff, we've been around staff. This is the most amateur hour staff that I've been around. You know, and I'm trying to be respectful, but worried about the wrong stuff. And then on Saturday, we get a product, a terrible product, and we get gaslit. Bring back Muschamp. At least he was passionate when he lost. He cared. Bro, we get this real calm, you know, no type of, you know, urgency whatsoever as a program. We get no urgency on game day. And then when you get to the press conference out, there's no urgency with we got to turn this program. No therapy-like session. Like, it's, you know, that's cool for couples therapy, but this is a football program. Players are spitting on each other. Like, right? We're getting smoked. Our offense looks like it's got training wheels on it. You know, and we take it off game day, and it's a five-year-old that don't know how to ride a bike. Like, it's what we look like. And we get a coach that's...
Oh, man.
Coach Deesbury raised me, bro.
We're not going to get Charlie Strong, Kenny Roberts. Come on.
Where is Charlie?
He's with the Bucks.
Obey, yeah.
We're not gonna get him. We're not gonna get what's his name at Western Carolina? Kerwin Bell. We're not doing John Gruden.
Yeah, I heard that John Gruden mess. Like, what are y'all trying to make us run our formation out there?
Dude, they were doing John Gruden things that Jim McElwain tired. Yeah. The groomers, we called them.
groomers,
not the same groomers.
Where did groomers come from? Was that Tennessee?
Who?
When the term groomers?
Yeah, Tennessee. So we're not doing that. We're not going to get Nick Saban out of retirement. Urban Meyer's not coming out of retirement. A lot of those names that I listed on that list probably aren't coming to Florida. I don't want to get your hopes up. But you got to do something to excite the fan base. Now I'm starting to think who's the head coach at like Texas State or
you know, good football program for what they are.
Jed Fish. I know people want him. I'm not sold, but who knows? You know, I don't have a lot of faith right now in what we're going to do, but.
Yeah, I don't know either, man. I'm lost. Hopefully we can turn this thing around. I think best case scenario.
Not getting Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's not coming to Florida. Chip Kelly turned down the Florida job very publicly. He's not coming. There's a lot of names that are not coming. We should create the not coming the list.
We'll see.
Todd Monken, I don't think is coming here either.
Oh my goodness.
What do you guys think? You think they go head coach, coordinator, NFL?
I don't know, man.
Jamie Chadwell. They're 1-2 right now over at Liberty. Nick, the comment section is telling you to go home. The official account of Norman Hall is telling you to go home. Nick's energy, Jordan, Corey in and out has kind of thrown things off a little bit, but Nick is throwing me off today.
I mean, I'm not going to talk about a coaching list. There's no job. Last year it was who's going to be the offensive coordinator. Let's make offensive coordinator list. And I told you we didn't do an offensive coordinator list.
We weren't that dumb to believe that it actually happened. We had a perfectly good tight end coach ready to be the name as the offense coordinator.
I believe there were offensive coordinator lists, and I kept saying that there's not a position.
Man, I don't think we did a list. I mean, you know, feel free chat. Let us know. I don't think we did offensive coordinator list. I think that we were concerned. What the hell is happening today? All right. Man, this is a wild episode. I don't even know if we can put this one out, boys.
It's not a good show.
It's just not. It's not. I mean, my energy shot. Nick is an energy vampire right now.
I walked into this house today. There's a leak. I've got a kid with an ear infection. I'm not going to be doing coaching search lists. Like, even if there is a move, I think because of my position, I can't. I'm not.
Oh, no. Yeah, we'll just kick you off the show for the next few months if you want.
Back later.
Jordan and I can take it from here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the defense, though. I do want to make sure that they get their credit. Miles Graham, probably his best game as a Gator. He ranks as the best player on defense this game, followed by Brian Taylor. He played 15 snaps. George Gums ranked third. Then Dijon Johnson, Pup Howard, Devin Moore, Tyreek Sapp, Kofi Asare, Brandon Bett, who was suspended for, I believe, one quarter, and then Cam James round out your top 10. Caleb Banks ends up going out with a foot injury. Apparently, there's some frustration about the foot injury heading into this game. Florida now has, what, three or four players with feet injury?
Yeah, it's a broken foot, like it's a broken bone. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know, Nick. I'm about to start opening up Footgate. I don't trust anything, Nick. What's going on with Nike? We've been sabotaged.
I don't know. There's something in the mix. That's how.
If you think we're being sabotaged by Nike now, let us steal Dan Lanning, and all of a sudden,
Jordans are made. Does Nike make Jordan or is
Jordan? Nike is Jordan. Yeah,
Nike owns Jordan, but like, does Jordan make their own shoes or is
no? I don't think so. I think they're made all over in Thailand with the same line,
with a Jordan on it. Yeah.
Soon,
the defense is playing well. Like two games in a row, defense is playing well to win the game.
I do deserve better than this. Jordan and I deserve better. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
Two games in a row, defense has played good enough football to win. I think you got a little bit more of a pass rush this week. I've been impressed by George Gums. We talked about him I certainly talked about him getting 39 sacks this year. But I think he's been really impressive in the run game, staying home, making sure funneling things back in. I think he's looked like a more of a complete player than just, you know, if I'm an NFL team, I'm looking at George Gums saying like, okay, he might be a three down guy. Like he's not just a package guy to get after the passer. I think Miles Graham's playing phenomenal. I think he had another good game. Brian Taylor played well against LSU. Devin Moore, hope he's not hurt. Did he come in after he left the game with the injury?
I thought so.
I can't remember.
I thought so. He played 30 total snaps. Let me see.
Out of 55.
Yeah. So maybe not.
Yeah, Dijon Cormani. I love that. I highlighted that one play.
That hustle?
Yeah, like that's that was like a DK Metcalf interception, like when DK Metcalf caught somebody, like that's
Buda Baker, yeah.
At that point, it's 20-10. Like, don't need to hustle like that, but that's stuff that shows up on film, especially for a guy who we've talked a lot about his character and his maturity. To me, that's great film. He's had a good year. There's a lot of good things to point out to about the defense, but like
he did get dummied by a wide receiver on one play, but that's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But like,
hold on one second, Nick. Yeah. Florida is ranked 27th in total defense right now.
Yeah, yeah, I think they're in the country in scoring total and rushing defense. They're in the top 25 in all of those, and I think they're in the top like 35 for.
Rushing defense, they are.
It's like
29th.
29th.
Pass defense, they are.
35th.
48th. In yards per play, they are. 57th. So.
Moore came back. Yeah, like they're. They're playing good enough football to win. I think USF, you struggled to get off the field a little bit, came out of the gate against LSU with their hair on fire. LSU had one long drive, that touchdown drive, which was 10 plays, 76 yards. Outside of that, LSU's longest drive was 6 plays.
Yeah. I mean, they played great on defense. I have zero qualms about them giving up 13 points to LSU at home at night.
Right. Five turnovers.
I mean,
five turnovers, short field.
Yeah. A
lot of points. One of the field goals was a 6-play, 14-yard drive, and you give up a field goal. And that came off of, what was that? Third, fourth? That came off of a punt, not off of a pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely defense play lights out, man. There's really no fingers to point on that side of the ball. They came out, did what they were supposed to do in a hostile environment. It's just tough, man, watching the defense play like that and not being able to win games. Like, it's almost like, God, let's just get out of here. Like, on the Friday show, I was saying, like, I feel like LSU is just going to try to come out and play penalty-free football and get out of the game. And they literally had to do less than that because of how many turnovers we had. We should have went in like that. Let's play penalty clean football, penalty-free clean football, and let's just win the ball game. We our defense play, we could have easily won that game by just playing conservative and just like trying to chunk away yards and doing whatever that looks like for us. I don't understand, but I just feel like we went out there and just said, forget it. We're gonna try any and everything. We don't care if it doesn't work.
Yeah, the refs made themselves known. 14 penalties combined.
Florida, what, 6 or 7 in this game? 6?
Each team had 7. 7-7. LSU had 68 penalty yards. Florida had officially 57, but one of those holdings took away an 87-yard touchdown.
Dude, I did not agree with that holding call. And I know that I come from a kind of a biased perspective, but it didn't even look like it was going to impact the play. I feel like that kind of stuff happens pretty often. Kind of a ticky-tack holding. I feel like those plays happen pretty often during the game. So that was an unfortunate one. It seems like some bad reffing again. Not saying that that's the reason that Florida lost, but just some weird penalties again in this game. Looking forward to AI taking that over.
I don't know that we need AI. We just need full-time referees.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. No sacks again in this game. Still only 2 sacks on the season, both against USF. Let's see. Only 3 quarterback hurries, 0 QB hits, just 4 missed tackles in the game. Got to get after. Got to figure out a way to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, Caleb Banks had, I don't remember if it was a quarterback. I thought it was the quarterback. He had either a sack or a big TFL, kind of just got through his arms. Yeah, yeah, not getting the pressure that we thought that they're certainly not the pressure I thought.
Yeah, they have zero. They have three hurries total in this game. I don't see any sacks or hits, so it must have been a tackle for loss, Nick.
Yeah, because he was like, he got his arms around somebody, and it was like 4 yards in the backfield. And I think the play ended up going for like a yard after that missed tackle. But I remember thinking, like, when a ball hits a receiver in the hands, even if it's a tough catch, like, you might have been jumping in the air, but hitting you in the hands, you got to make it. It's like, you might have been like falling down, but you had two arms around a guy. You got to get him to the ground there. But
yeah, thought the defensive backs played well. You know, they give up, let's see, 220 yards, but 65 of those came against Jaden Robinson. 31 of them came against Miles Graham. 23 came against Jamari Lyons. So when you start to take those out, pretty good game by the defensive backs.
Yeah, man, them boys played lights out. They did their thing.
Yeah. So, well, that's where we're at, boys. That's where we're at. Tough loss. We'll do game day eve on Friday before Miami. Then we get a bye week. And then the rest of your schedule.
That schedule looks hard. Miami game or no?
I'll be down here.
Yeah.
No, I leave to go to Columbia next Tuesday. The country. So,
Missouri, huh?
No, going to the country of Columbia next Tuesday, so I won't be able to make it down. Hopefully it'll be a good one. Jordan, you going?
Yeah, I might go. They got the little alumni tailgate there. So
okay. Well, everybody go hang out with Jordan, make him feel welcome. Black Raider Steel, appreciate you listening and all your commentary today. Always love when the hate listens count. And the hate ad reads count as double. So make sure that you support our sponsors. Make sure you watch the show a couple times. Make sure we get that ad revenue from you. Black Raider Steel. All right, guys. We'll end the show there. I know we had some technical difficulties, some sound issues. Energies got sucked out. But I'm not going to let it suck the joy out of my life. and I'm going to still cheer this team on. Each and every Saturday, as long as I'm alive to do so. So one final ad read for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. Anything that you could want Florida Gator related, whether it is t-shirts, hats, shorts, football, basketball, baseball, gymnastics, anything in between, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road right outside of the Chick-fil-A, right near that Chick-fil-A there. So that'll bring the end of the show. Jordan, you want to do song of the week?
Yeah, I got you. Give me 2 seconds.
Nick, Florida Victoria's doing a tailgate for this event or just home games?
Yes. Miami rents their stadium. The Dolphins have turned much of what used to be the tailgating parking lot into an F1 track. So Florida Victorious for members will be doing a Top Golf about 4 miles away from the stadium. We'll be doing a Top Golf tailgate for you there.
So what are the details there? I'm sure they'll be emailed to you. And that's going to be before the game. On Saturday, or is that like a Friday thing?
Before the game Saturday.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what show's going out there?
Maybe just stay at Topgolf. Don't need to go to the game.
So that F1 track there, they're permanently?
Yep. Yeah. Stephen Ross has committed to having F1 Miami. There's parts of the track that you have to, like, they built.
Bridges over?
Bridges, yeah, but I think they're more like observation decks, like for the race. But bridges, like front, like you literally have to walk over the track on a bridge.
Oh,
to the stadium.
Wow,
yeah. So, my mom's friend, who's been a Dolphins season ticket holder since it was the Orange Bowl, was mentioning that it's become really hard to park down there.
Yeah, it already was before that. I can imagine. But yeah, my song of the week is Florida Flow by Travis Scott and Kodak Black. Got a Florida rivalry going on here. Should be the song for it. Let's hope and pray that it turns out in favor, fellas.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate everybody for watching this episode. Next week, we will try to avoid some of the technical difficulties. And we will see you guys same corner, same time. Hey, go Gators. You still got a lineup 11 on 11 for 60 minutes. So who knows? Sure. We'll talk more on game day Eve. We're going to send Nick a Celsius before that show. We'll see you guys.